All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today my co-host, Alan Sterk, will be taking on the Falcoholics, Adnan Ikic, in another episode of the Falcons Historian Shootout, our trivia tournament, looking back at a past Falcons season with today's episode, Rewinding the Clock, back to 2012.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's Locked On Falcons is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years. I'm on Twitter at FalFans. You also know my co-host, Alan Sterk, who you can find on Twitter at Alan underscore Sterk. That's A-double-L-E-N underscore S-T-R-K. And we are back for another semifinal episode of the Falcons Historian Shootout, our summer-long series of podcasts in which we invite Falcons-adjacent guests, fans, bloggers, beat writers, radio hosts, etc., onto the podcast to duke it out in a trivia tournament, looking back at a past Falcon season. We've nearly done every season from 2004 through 2018 with just two seasons left. And one of those seasons left is the 2012 season, where the exception to having two guests is my co-host Alan will be taking part of today's contest, going up against Adnan Ikic of the Falcoholic. The winner today will go on to the finals and talk about the Falcons 2016 season later this month. Alan, my friend, are you nervous about tonight's matchup?
Focused. Got to deliver. This is my tournament. Gonna deliver.
You were pretty cocky earlier in the week, but I think now that the day has arrived, you probably feel, you know, that this is going to be your toughest matchup moving forward. Is that correct?
When two Balkans collide, you already know it. Okay. And Adnan's been the star. He's the only guy that's outscored me. You know, I have 9, he has 10. So, you know, this is some serious competition. Chuck sent some threats. He didn't really deliver. Will was amazing, but he got one question wrong. No, this is crunch time. So, I got to represent.
Okay. So, guys, we are back for another Falcons Historian Shootout. This time about the Falcons 2012 season, where two guests, or really one guest, will be joining the show. That is none other than Adnan Ikic of the Falcoholic to go against my co-host. But now he is out of the co-host chair. That is, of course, Alan Sterk. About this 2012 season, I have come up with all of the questions for these two guys. Hopefully we can get a thrilling matchup today of arguably the two people that have performed the best in this trivia tournament that we have had so far. So let's sort of jump right into it. Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here.
Alan, do this.
Alan, we already know sort of where you were during the 2012 season because we just spent the better part of 30 minutes talking about it on the podcast. So let's sort of get Adnan's perspective on his memories of that 2012 season. Where was he at in his life, as well as sort of what were his thoughts at the time?
I was in high school at the time, and I remember vividly, I was learning how to drive at the time. So I was going out, with my dad driving on Sundays. On Sunday mornings, I'd practice driving with him going on the highway, and then I'd like be back in time for the Falcons games. And I mean, that was absolutely, I started following the team in the late end of that 07 season. So that was absolutely like the best year for me as a Falcons fan until the fourth quarter of the 2016 Super Bowl. So, I mean, that, and I feel like that was maybe the most important win for Matt Ryan in his career at the time, by far, against Seattle in that divisional playoff round. Because you look at hindsight being 2020, if he chokes away that game, so to speak, with that blown lead, it was, I think, 27-7 or something ridiculous like that before they kicked that field goal with Matt Bryant, then Matt Ryan goes through until 2016 without a playoff win. And then the narrative is just completely stamped at that point of, oh, he just never like wins in the play. It would be like what we're looking at with Matt Stafford right now. But yeah, that was that 8-0 like start to the season was so fun. And I mean, my heart was broken when we lost in New Orleans, and Roddy White just didn't run all out on that late Hail Mary where he got behind the defense. And had he just like kept running, he would have had a touchdown for the win. I still remember that game vividly. But no, it was so fun up until the second half of that San Francisco game where they somehow scored 0 points.
You know, Adnan, you bring up an interesting point about if the Falcons hadn't, won those playoff games in 2012. I don't know if Matt Ryan would have survived through after the 2015 season that he had. You know, it's interesting to sort of like that one win, or at least that one run in the postseason in 2012. You know, if he had basically, played the better part of 8 years without winning a playoff game, and particularly having the seasons that he had in 2013, 2014, and 2015 with how bad the team was, like maybe he's not even here in Atlanta to have the MVP season that he winds up having in 2016 and the Falcons going to the Super Bowl. So that's an interesting sort of what-if scenario. If you know, Harry Douglas had dropped that pass against Seattle and not helped set up, and then the play to Tony Gonzalez and all those things.
He made up for it with that by getting eaten up by the turf monster against San Francisco. Yes. So that kind of undid all of that.
Yes.
Harry Douglas. Aaron, I want to make a quick counter-argument. I think if they lose that game to Seattle, Mike Smith gets fired. I think Arthur Blank would just get pressured into doing it. So you have to take that into consideration. Like, who would be brought in? I don't know who the big coaching candidates were at the time, but I think if not 2013, then by 2014, because I think Mike Smith would have been the obvious scapegoat, and deservingly so. I know we're pro Mike Smith, but that game kind of epitomized the Mike Smith era. Just a big lead, just totally washed away. Let's not forget how poorly he managed that game against Tampa Bay in week 17, which, Abraham got hurt. Dante Robinson got a concussion, So, and you just watched the second half of that divisional round game. It was just Russell Wilson pretty much did whatever he wanted. So, I think Adam makes a great point. I love the Matt Stafford comparison. I think it's very accurate. It's just, if I had to make a counter argument, I like to see what Ryan would do to new coaching staff, because I don't think Mike Smith would have survived it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Matt Ryan would still be here because it's just so hard to move on from a franchise quarterback. You see, Detroit isn't close to doing it with Stafford, for example, but I definitely think Smith doesn't survive the 2013 season. Like, that 2012 year bought him enough goodwill to survive up until 2014. And then, like, everything has completely changed because then Dan Quinn isn't the head coach, so you don't have that era. I don't think Thomas Dimitroff survives the 2013 season either in that case.
Yeah. Great points, guys. I will just say that had the Falcons lost that Seattle game, I think that interception that Matt Ryan threw to Earl Thomas would have been, a much bigger black eye on his record as a quarterback than it is right now. But you're right. I think Mike Smith would have gotten the immediate blame. And if the Falcons hadn't, had found success quickly, then I think the blame would have shifted to Matt Ryan. I guess that's the counter argument to Allen's counter argument. So,
and also, if we don't win that Seattle game, just very quickly, we look at 2012 the same way we look at 2010, in which case it was a nice regular season where they just completely choke, and we wouldn't have fond memories of 20. Like, I have fond memories of 2010, but I try and stay away from those memories because I remember how it ended with that Green Bay game. So yeah. I think it would be a similar sense, whereas that Seattle divisional win kind of justify that 13-win season.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And being 10 yards from the Super Bowl, I think, makes it seem like we were just on the cusp. So yeah.
Was it a pass interference? I mean, we certainly didn't sue the NFL. Fine overturn.
Yeah.
I think it was a PI. I thought Baldwin made early contact. But I think people forget Tony Gonzalez was open wide. And Ryan did miss the read.
I would disagree with that take, but I'll let that go. He had – Tony was bracketed on that play, so –
Was he really? I think he could have snuck in there. Come on, Ryan.
No, he could. He could have.
Tony, he did it often.
He could have, but I think going to your number one wide receiver against the linebacker versus going to Tony Gonzalez with safety help over the top, I think Matt Ryan made the right choice. It's just they didn't.
It wasn't
make
just
the right
any point. Linebacker, though.
That's true. That's true. That's true. But
let's not forget Julio was just torching everyone.
Oh my god, that first half from Julio was just insane. It was just not only the touchdowns. I remember that one third down catch he had. I think it was Whitner, like, had the ball in his hands, and he just, like, snatched it out of his hands to, like, convert that.
Yeah, it was like a crossing route, and Ryan was just rolling to his right. I don't know if it was over Patrick Willis made a tackle. I forgot which DB, but maybe it was, like, Deshaun Goldson. But, yeah, it was one of the craziest catches.
Yeah, it was probably Goldson. I think it was Goldson.
Julio was just, man, that first half, and then the second touchdown. Just watching, like, the Georgia Dome in that game, I know we're trying not to talk too much about the Stanford game, but like, the Georgia Dome, that was a like, peak Georgia Dome. Like, that place was just crazy, especially that first half.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Oh.
It's all because of me. It's all
forgot about
me.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really thought we had something when Robinson, like, forced that fumble on the 1 yard line. I was like, all right, we got it. Like, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl at that point. But then they just didn't score in the second half.
Yeah. And we talk about Julio. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was hurt. He got hurt in that game pretty early.
And Turner did too.
Yeah. Matt Ryan got hurt at the end of the game too.
Oh,
you know, it's so many what if scenarios. We could spend an entire podcast just talking about that 49er game. So
yeah,
let's
forget about the Super Bowl. That San Francisco game.
Yeah, you know, it's a whole lot of just, man, if that is, you know.
I do love how in the second half of both that Seattle and San Francisco game, both teams just realized that the Falcons could not cover the tight end at all. So they just, like, destroyed us over the middle.
Vernon Davis, man. It was rough. And who was the Seattle?
Zach Miller the week before, too.
Yeah,
Zach
Miller. I forgot. I was like, oh, God. Zach
Miller. Just the personification of mediocrity.
Absolutely. Okay, let's sort of jump into the trivia questions now that we have, you know, gotten many of the listeners riled up about the 49er game and what should have happened in that game.
We got to make sure we don't do this for the 2016 episode. We cannot talk about the Super Bowl like this.
No. We'll just do a separate episode on the Super Bowl. Now, if you're struggling to cover tight ends in a postseason game, it's probably because you have the wrong components to fix your defense, but you don't want to be stuck with the wrong components to fix your vehicle. And that's where our good friends at rockauto.com come into the mix. Whether you want engine control modules, brake parts, or floor mats, you can get everything at rockauto.com with just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals as well as do-it-yourselfers. You can go to rockauto.com, see what's available for your car or truck, and when you do, make sure you write "Locked On" in the "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Alan, since you were very confident that you were going to sweep this thing, you want to get things started? Set the bar high?
All right.
Question one. This was the only season in which this player had double-digit receiving touchdowns in a Falcons uniform.
Julio Jones.
That is correct. Number two. Name one of the team's 2 fifth-round picks in 2012.
Oh boy, I got a few in my head, but I think they were 6th round. Wow, I think you got me here.
I'm feeling a DW scenario right now. You're just going to guess something, and it's going to be correct.
Everything, I feel like there's 6 rounders just pop in my head right now.
You only got to name one.
I got this. All right, I think I got this one. Charles Mitchell.
Charles Mitchell was a 6th rounder.
Brady Ewing and Jonathan Masekwa.
That is correct.
Oh, Masekwa came in 2012?
Yeah.
Brady Ewing, I just totally off the face there.
Hello, my fellow Central Gwinnett High School alum, Jonathan.
Oh, man. I was thinking of Charles Mitchell and Tavarian Robertson. Those are 6th-round picks, right?
Robertson was 7th, yeah, yeah.
All
right. The perfect sweep is no more. Let's see what else you can do.
I did not study draft. It was such a great draft class, man.
Oh, my God. It was one of – that draft class set the stage for that 3-year like rebuilding window.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get me started on that. But number three, this player finished 2nd on the team with 10 pass breakups.
You're going in hard on this one, Aaron. I mean, this is,
I had to up the game. Yeah,
you upped the ante for the final 4.
So it's 2nd, right?
2nd.
All right. There's 2 coming to mind. Go Thomas Dekou.
Robert McClain?
It was Robert McClain.
That was my next pick. Oh.
No. Yeah, I was going to say that's a pretty obscure corner from that year. So
I was considering him, but I was like, I'm not sure how many reps he got in some games.
Okay, number four. Including the playoffs, Matt Ryan threw 3 touchdown passes of 60 yards or more. Julio Jones caught 2 of them. Who had the 3rd?
Oh, Michael Turner.
That is correct.
The Panthers game.
Oh, man, he was just chugging along.
I was hoping
by the way, just for no one on the camera that can notice, I am wearing Michael Turner jersey right now.
I was hoping I could trip you up by saying including the playoffs, and you would think the Roddy touchdown against Sherman was a 60-yard touchdown, but it wasn't.
Oh, that was by like the logo.
It's like a 47-yarder or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Alan. I thought that 3 was an 8. I thought you were wearing a Harry Douglas jersey for a second.
Ooh, you could lease it out to Crumpler, maybe. I wore Abraham jersey not so long ago, and Aaron's like, are you wearing a full Warlord jersey? I'm like, I give up with everything.
I got
recency bias.
I had so many bad memories of Paul Warlow that it completely blocked all the good memories I had of John Abraham. All right, number 5. Let's see if you can get the Kevin Knight special here, Alan.
Oh, God.
Here we go. The Falcons had 17 defensive players start at least 3 games in 2012. 7 of them were not originally drafted by the Falcons. Name 5 of those 7.
Yikes. So 7 players that started 3 games that weren't drafted.
Yeah, but you only have to name 5 of them.
Only 5.
I think 4 of them are pretty easy, if I could say so.
Yeah, all right. So we got John Abraham.
That's 1.
Dante Robinson.
2.
Asante Samuel.
3.
The great Asante Samuel. Yeah.
What a year he had.
Ooh. I don't know if he started a lot. There's one name coming out, but I'm really nervous about it. I don't know what to say.
Only had to start at least 3 games.
Oh, only 3 games. But then again, I don't know. When I'm done, I'll mention his name. There's 2 more you said, right?
Yeah, you got to name 2 more. There's 4 other guys that did it. You just got to name 2 of them.
All right, I'm just going to say his name. If it's wrong, I'm going to be pretty outraged. Ray Edwards?
He is the 4th. Do you have a 5th?
Okay, good. Because remember, he got like benched at some point, mm-hmm. and then he got released. I was like, I don't know how many games he started because he just pissed off so many people. But I was like, he had at least the early game graphic had to show Ray Edwards' face at least 3 times. That was my thought process. There's 1 more, you said. Oh, man. It's another risky one. I think he – all right. There's 2 that come to mind, but I'm going to go Mike Peterson.
That is correct.
It was either him or Chris Hope. That was what I was thinking.
Chris Hope and Robert McClain were the other 2.
All right. Still well below standards. Very disappointed myself.
All right, you got 3. See what Adnan could do. All right, number 1. The Falcons shut out this opponent in 2012, also marking the last time the team blanked an opponent.
The New York Giants.
That is correct.
34-0.
The Falcons picked off Peyton Manning 3 times and Drew Brees 5 times in their wins over the Broncos and Saints in 2012. Name the 2 players that both snagged an interception in both games.
William Moore and Thomas Dekou.
That is correct.
Oh, I was going to say best safety tandem in the league in 2012, bar none.
Damn right.
This 2012 undrafted rookie was the only rookie besides Peter Kahns to play in every game in 2012.
Okay. 2012. So he was undrafted in 2012 or he was undrafted at any point?
Undrafted in 2012.
Oh, yeah. This one may trip me up right now. You said he started every single game?
Yeah, no, he played in every single game.
Oh, he played in every single game. It has to be one of the more obscure players, I would assume. Man, yeah, you got me on this one, Aaron.
Have a guess?
I'm going to guess who's the fullback that year.
Oh, Aaron, he's going for the brand.
I'm going for the brand.
I won't tip. We'll see what you got.
It wasn't DeMarco. I know for a fact it was not DeMarco. It's on the tip of my tongue. Mike Cox?
Mike Cox was the fullback, but that is not the correct answer.
What was it?
Josh Harris, long snapper.
Josh Harris. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Bro, I'm mad about that one.
I was going to say, it can't be Robin McClain because I don't think he played that week 1.
No, he didn't.
Oh my goodness!
I was thinking, I was like, oh, Harris. If he picks Robert McLean, it's my Robert McLean. I'm gonna be pretty outraged.
But. Oh my! I mean, I was not even like, I didn't even have my mindset on long snapper.
McLean was undrafted, right?
But not by the Falcons. No, he was drafted by the Panthers in round 7, either in 2010, I think, maybe.
Oh wow! Damn, he's been around.
Okay, number 4. This offensive lineman caught a 1-yard touchdown pass from Matt Ryan versus the Saints in Week 10.
I watched the highlights of this game. Mike Johnson?
That is correct.
I watched the highlights of this game a few days ago. I remember it was on a play action, and he went on a flat, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The highlight I watched, they didn't show the touchdown. They just mentioned it offhand. So I was hoping that maybe you watched the same highlight I did, and because you didn't see it, you didn't memorize it. But okay. All right, number 5. Falcons had 5 players picked for the Pro Bowl in 2012. Name all 5.
All 5. Oh. So we're going to go with Roddy White. Or no. Julio Jones. It was not. Roddy White did not make the Pro Bowl. Roddy White did not make the Pro Bowl. I rescind that. Julio Jones was one. I remember because Roddy had 1,300 yards and he somehow didn't make it that year.
Julio Jones is correct.
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
John Abraham.
That is incorrect.
John Abraham didn't make the Pro Bowl that year?
No, he did not.
Oh, my goodness. What a
chance. Oh, man. Even I'm outraged.
The other 3 were Tony Gonzalez, Thomas Dekou, and Willie Moe.
I got ahead of myself on that one.
See, I knew that question was going to be tough because there was like 8 dudes on the team that should have made the Pro Bowl but didn't make the Pro Bowl that year.
Oh, man.
So we're
extra
going
to, time.
We're going overtime. Okay. I'll be honest with you guys. I came up with this question like 30 minutes before we jumped on. So,
Well, make sure Adnan knows the format there.
Okay, yes. I should explain that to you. And as I explain that to Adnan, I don't have to explain to you how important it is to have bragging rights about your fantasy football team later this year. So you guys should go ahead, get a jump start, and subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast hosted by Vinny Iyer. Find the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Okay. It's unlimited guesses.
Unlimited guesses.
Okay.
Toll free for all. Once Aaron sees a name that's right, I'll be the winner.
Okay. I don't think this question is nearly as hard as the other ones I asked you leading up to it. So
I mean, the Josh Harris one, are you?
I just want to give you a warning that speed, I think, will be the difference between you winning and losing on this one. Okay. So here's a question. Everybody ready?
Yes.
All right. Michael Turner had the longest play of the game with a 60-yard catch versus the Panthers. Who had the second longest play? Go ahead and type your answers in.
Oh, we did.
Oh, I can't see them. Oh, okay. Roddy is the correct answer. And according to it, it looks like Adnan got it in first.
Oof, by a hair.
Oh,
oh my God. By I saw we got it in at the same time. I don't know why you capitalized his first name. I think that was the difference.
That might have been the difference.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
I got no words. It's a family-friendly show. I want to spit about 10 expletives right now, but whatever. It can't end like this.
Oh, my goodness.
It was Roddy White with him skying over Haruki Nakamura. 59 yards.
From the 1.
From the 1-yard line.
Oh, man. Aaron, that one was for you because I know had Allen won this competition, he would have kept talking about it for months.
I appreciate it. Be 2024 and Allen would still be bringing it up. Yeah. Allen is distraught. Now he knows the pain.
I lost on a Zoom group chat by 1.8 seconds.
Oh, it was way less than that. It was like half a second.
Once Aaron said it, I knew it too. And I saw, like, we both clicked submit. You know, Adnan, what kind of laptop you have?
Oh, I have a Mac.
I got Asus. You know what? I'm going to go get a Mac now after this. I'm outraged by the connection.
Oh, my goodness.
But nevertheless, this was a great semi. I wanted to go to extra time. Unfortunately, I did want to see a 6-5, but, man, yeah. Aaron has some doozies. And
Aaron came out with some mustard on those questions.
Yeah, I should have got the draft pick one right, but the pass breakups, that's always tricky. But man, I was thinking about McClain, but for some reason, Deku, I felt like every game Deku had his hands on the ball at some point. He's just flying everywhere. But nevertheless, we got an all Falcon Hawk final.
Hashtag for the brand. Man. We'll definitely mention it on the live show on Wednesday.
Well, Adnan is a heavy favorite going to this one.
Adnan, if you can get the 4, I think you'll be good.
I mean, I'm not going to – after Alan got 3, I was like, all right, I have nothing to worry about. I studied up. I should get 4 or 5. But the Josh Harris one completely stumped me. And the Pro Bowl one, I got ahead of myself on that one because I should have – I had just mentioned William Moore and Thomas Deku. I knew that they both made the Pro Bowl, so – that was my fault for not taking my time.
Yeah.
All right, but you won, man. Celebrate.
Yeah.
Oof, the job's not finished yet. The job's not finished yet.
Spoken like a 2016 Dan Quinn press conference.
On to next.
We're going to be fast and physical in those finals.
It's all part of the process with, you know, all the coaching cliches.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Yeah, man. I mean, I want bragging rights over Kevin, so it's not over yet.
For those of you guys listening and not privy to our video, like I can clearly see that both of these guys have been dealing with a lot of stress for the last 20 minutes, you know, and in Adnan's case, it has been lifted over him and Alan is still stewing. It's going to continue to be stewing for the remainder of the week.
I mean, that was, it couldn't have been closer than that. It literally could not have been closer.
Yeah. Adnan, you know, as you take your victory lap, go ahead and plug what you are doing currently at the Falcoholic and your Twitter and all the other things.
So on the Falcoholic, I'm running down a list of the most important players on offense for the Falcons going into 2020, and I'll do that for the defense as well. And you can find me on Twitter at SayWhichWay. That's basically my social media of choice.
Well, Adnan, we appreciate it, or at least one of us does. I appreciate it. I don't think Alan does.
No, this is actually Adnan's second extra time win. He beat DW in the first round, then handled Jay convincingly, and now this is another one, man. In crunch time, he delivers. So salute to him, and you know, I do think you are the heavy favorite going to the final. And I bet you're excited because you get to do the 2016 season. Oh, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great. Like the 2016, yeah. I have fond memories of that up until that fourth quarter. And, you know, Alan was a very worthy opponent. We had a very Balkan feel to this semifinals.
I know. Bosnia beat Croatia. You don't hear that very often in sports, but nevertheless, it did happen.
I mean, they don't play very often in sports either, but yeah. I mean, who would have ever thought that a Bosnian and a Croatian would be in the final four of an Atlanta Falcons trivia contest if you had told someone that 30 years ago.
We'll let you know that, though, that there will be no questions about any February games that were played. We'll stick from September to January. Especially now that I'm responsible for asking half the questions, although it is pretty obvious I'll be asking Kevin the questions while Aaron will be asking Adnan questions. Otherwise, I'm just going to ask you like Richard Smith questions and, you know, maybe Raheem Morris was a DB. I don't know.
I'll tell you, Adnan, I do plan on bringing the heat again for that championship round. So you will have to earn the 4 if you're going to beat Kevin. That's what I'll say.
Hey, I mean, I'll try and prepare more. And I appreciate that there won't be Super Bowl questions. It was hard enough reliving that 49ers game earlier today from 2012, so at least I won't have to I've still not watched full highlights of that Patriots game to this day.
To this day? yeah, okay. Well, Adnan, we appreciate it, man. And look forward to getting back with you and seeing what you can do against Kevin and seeing, you know, who can reign supreme, you know, who can gloat in the Falcoholic Slack or whatever you guys use from here until eternity.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys. I look forward to rejoining you guys again for the finals. Have a great night.
All right, you too.
Congrats.
Thank you.
So, guys, there you have it. The most epic ending to a Falcons historian shootout that we have experienced so far. We'll have to sort of see what is left with just one more matchup between Adnan and Kevin Knight, both of the Falcoholic, for the final later this month with the 2016 season and the trivia on the line. Alan, any parting shots to a disappointing finish for you, only because of the 8 megahertz difference in your computer's processor? Did you lose hardware failure? You know, what are your, I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm wondering where your head's at after this disappointment.
I don't really know too many Saint fans, but I will get their advice on what I could do with my lawsuit against Asus. We're going to take serious measures into this. It's the atrocity. But besides that, what are you going to do? I said I wanted to get 5-5. I think I should have at least gotten 4. Not knowing the draft class, it was a very forgettable draft class, but nevertheless, you still got to know the draft class. Those are one of the more common questions you get in the story and shootout. So the fact that I know it, not good, especially my guy, Jonathan Massacre. I totally forgot about him. Brady Ewing, I no idea. And then as for the pass breakups, there were a lot of DBs making plays that year. I just knew for a fact it wasn't Dante Ruggs. He was not on the radar, but it was the Adeku McLean, and I consider Willie Moubrief. What are you going to do, man? It hurts. I can't gloat no more. I'm just going to have to take it in and you know, get ready for the finals. We got quite a treat for us. Adnan versus Kevin, two good men, two guys that well, at least one of them has done exceptionally well, while Kevin, you know, it's crazy. Like, Kevin, if you want to take this into account, before my match with Adnan, both of us, I had the same amount of points as Kevin did after. Like, I had as many points in 2 rounds as Kevin had in 3 rounds, while Adnan has actually scored more than Kevin in 2 rounds than Kevin's 3 rounds. Kevin had 10, I had 9. Meanwhile, Kevin only had to get 9 correct to make it to the finals. So, yeah, it's sometimes the draw, it's not right. But I know Aaron just sitting there, you have every right to be mad about the draw. So you just got to take it for what's worth and get excited about this 2016 episode. We're gonna have fun doing it.
Are you basically saying that Kevin is the New England Patriots and gets to play in the really crappy AFC East every year and gets to coast to the postseason?
No, because didn't the Patriots have to beat some decent teams on their way, right? That year, I know Pittsburgh kind of faltered. Who else did they beat?
Oh, Houston. That was their awesome.
Oh, game. God. All right. Well, this comparison might have legs, actually. I want to call Jason Budd Brock Osweiler, but and then David pulled the Mike Tomlin, and then Brad was just kind of punching above his weight, I guess. I don't know. Whatever, man. Let's just wrap it up here.
All right.
We'll be back. We'll be positive. But until then, oh, man. I'm hurting.
All right. So there you guys have it. We'll be back with more of a Falcons historian shootouts later this month. We will be back later this week with a mailbag episode that I was supposed to drop on Monday, but it will come out probably tomorrow, where you guys can, where I will answer many of your Twitter questions. If you have Twitter questions, of course, you can submit them to Locked On Falcons on Twitter. You could also send them in via Facebook at Locked On Falcons or via email at LockedOnFalcons@mail.com for future Q&As. And of course, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Falcons podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And I would like to remind you to make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast hosted by Vinny Iyer on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.